So back earlier in the summer, I was we were on vacation, and we were at a place that we've gone to for a number of years. We are creatures of habits. We've gone to this place down in South Carolina. It's owned by somebody I used to work with. And our daily habit type of thing, Angie goes, and she goes looking for shells. She walks very slowly and works her way down because that's very relaxing for her. I can find her usually because she's standing like this and looking around. I go for long walks. I go and see how far I can get in a certain amount of time and turn around and come back. Because that's a great thing about when you're walking along a beach, you got to come back. So I'm doing that. And as I'm doing this one day, I look out of the sea and I can see, you ever see those big wheelchair things that can go on a beach? You know, it's got these big dune buggy type things. And I notice that somebody, they're taking an older gentleman out into the water. And it doesn't look to me like he can really walk, just kind of from what I can see. But as I'm looking at that, and I can see, and then I see, all of a sudden there's a group of guys. And I'm getting the figure, this is maybe granddad or great-granddad, granddad, dad, and grandsons, you know, all there. And they're all helping him get out into the water to enjoy that thing. And I tell you, that just got me right here. And actually, I think the next day or a couple days later, I saw it. It almost looked like a different gentleman getting him out there. Because I see him help him up and help him actually stand in the water. I just thought, how cool is that? I just began to wonder, because, you know, I'm just walking along here, my mind's going, I'm just like, wow, who are these people, and why, what a gift they would give. Are they family? Are they friends? Is it half family, half friends? Who are they? And as I began to think about that, I began to think about a story in Scripture that we're going to look at here in just a minute, and I thought, you know, this would be, I got to hang on to this one, because this would be a great sermon illustration of this text. Then I went further. I said, you know what? No, I think there's a whole sermon in this to build around this. And then I went a little bit further. I thought, no, there's a whole series here. And then I thought, you know, if I take this back and use all this, I can write this vacation off now on my business stuff. So this is cool. Now, so that's how we got here today, because I thought of this passage, and you've probably heard this story at some point along the way. It says, one day Jesus, we're looking in Luke, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they turned around and went home. No. They went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, here's what I began to think about with this text and this passage. First thing is, how did the homeowner feel about their roof getting ripped apart? There's some thought that this might have been Peter's mother-in-law's house. And I wonder, you know, how did that go? But here's the next question I want to ask. What kind of friends do that for a friend? How do you become that kind of friend to someone else? How do I become, and I begin to think for myself, how do I become the kind of person that would carry a friend to Jesus? How do you and I become the kind of person who would rip the roof off a house to get that friend to Jesus? How do you and I become the kind of person who will bear a friend's burden? How do we become the kind of person who patiently bears with a friend when they struggle in sin or other problems? How do I become the kind of person that brings hope and joy and peace and life and more to a friendship? Notice, it is the friend's faith that engages Jesus. When he sees their faith, he's moved to act. So, as I think about this text, as I put all this together, I think I want to be the kind of friend that has such faith that when Jesus takes note, he would stop what he's doing and engage. I have a feeling maybe you'd like to be that kind of friend too. This series is not about, you know, you need to have more friends. This is about you becoming the kind of friend, me becoming the kind of friend that our world desperately needs right now. There's a question I have to ponder through this. A self, heart, mind, soul check. It's sparked by a proverb that reads, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, I want you to think about, there are two kinds of friends here, the unreliable and the one that sticks close. Which kind of friend do you tend to be? Here's the question I have to ask. Am I a fair-weathered friend? A fair-weather friend. You know, in the movie The Sound of Music, there's a character, Max. And he's kind of a friend of Captain Von Trapp. And he says this at one point, "I like rich people. I like the way they live. And I like the way I live when I'm with them." That's about as honest as you can get. And can't we be that way with people? Maybe you aren't, I don't have any rich friends, but we like hanging out with people when it benefits us. But not so much if it costs us of our time, of our energy. So that leaves me back a little bit further. I got to kind of back up here. So what is a friend? And I think we need to kind of answer this for us. What is a friend? Well, it's more than an acquaintance. Understand that. It's more than acquaintance. An acquaintance is a person you know slightly, but they're not a close friend. You know maybe their name, you know, in the face. You might say hi. You might, you know, go through the whole pleasantries. How are you doing? Not really wanting to know. Oh, that's great. And then you move on. Or, you know, that kind of friend, their acquaintance, you're like, hey, there they are at the other side of the grocery store. Let me turn this aisle down here. A friend is not an acquaintance. Facebook identifies all the people that you're connected with as what? Friends. They're really more acquaintances. Unless they're somebody different. But, you know, I've got a lot of people on there. I got some people in high school. And I'm like, yeah, we went to high school together. I really need to look you up in the yearbook because I can't remember you. I know the name, but I can't place the face. Let's be honest. We're not friends in that true biblical sense. A friend is also more than a colleague. You know, people that you work with. And you may get along well, and you may have birthday parties and stuff going on and everything, but it ends there. And you typically know you're a colleague when you retire or when you leave the business and you don't stay in touch anymore. I'm not faulting it. It's like that. There are people, you know them and you interact with them because you're all in proximity of each other and you want the workplace to be, you know, a pleasant place. But that's as far as it goes. And a friend is more than a teammate or a classmate or a roommate. We got a lot of people that we interact with deeply sometimes in certain settings, but it ends there. If you look and listen to any kind of biographies and stuff, you're a rock band or something, you think, oh, those guys, you know, they're all friends. You find out they all hated each other. You know, they're singing about peace, love, and harmony. They hate each other. People you went to school with, or roommates. You know, some people, you know, they're best friends in school, and then they go to be roommates in college and realize that was a mistake. Sometimes your best roommates are people you're not good friends with. Because otherwise you just really grind on each other's nerves. Friend is something more. Here's the Greek. It uses the word philos. And it's a noun, and it means beloved. It's a dear friend, somebody who is dearly loved, prized in a very personal, intimate way. They're a trusted confidant. They're held in a dear, close bond of personal affection. And so philos expresses experience-based love. So where can we learn more, though, about being a friend? Let's go to the Old Testament. I found this very interesting. The Hebrew word for friend is ra. And this word can mean a companion. And it's interestingly enough related to many words that have to do with shepherding and the shepherd, the companion and friend of the flock. And that got me thinking here. What's that one famous shepherd that we know about? David. And when David, who would eventually become the king of Israel, when he was a young man, his brothers were off at a battle with the Philistines. And his father sent David with some food to take to him. And when he gets there, he comes across this scene. The Philistines have sent out their champion, a very tall, giant man known as Goliath. And he's out there saying, who will come against me? And he's taunting their God, and he's going there. And David is just incensed. And he's like, who's going to go out there? Who's going to fight him? Everybody's like, oh, shut up, kid, shut up. You don't know anything about battles and wars and stuff. Finally he says, I'll go. And they take him to Saul, the king. And Saul's like, dude, you're not going to be able to handle this. And if you lose, we all lose. But in 1 Samuel 17, we read this. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out after it and I attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I curled up in a ball and played dead. No, it says, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. Now here's some things we can begin to take away about a friend that we need to be. A faithful friend cares what happens to you. A faithful friend cares what's happening to their friends. It says, your servant was tending his father's sheep. And he could have said, you know, sat back and go, well, I guess we just paid the tithe on the sheep to the bear, to the lion. No. He notices it. And he goes and he's going to do something about it. It cares. Marlene Dietrich said, it's the friends you can call up at 4 a.m. that matter. So here's a question. Can you be called up at 4 a.m.? Now, some of you, I know, you're already awake. Some of you are in your deepest sleep. Are you the kind of person that your friends can call at 4 a.m. when they need something? And then we see this, a caring friend will run toward the problem. It says, I went out after it and attacked it. Our world needs people that when they're hurting, when they're under attack, we'll come to their defense. We'll do something about it. We won't just sit back and watch. You know, one of the most infuriating things that you've probably seen is somebody's being attacked and everybody's filming it. We shouldn't have any of those films of those things because everybody should be rushing to solve the problem. So will we rush to it? Will we go to it? When we see that there's an issue, you know, Timothy, one of the things we often do is say, hey, let me know if you need anything. But then there are people who just bring, they just kind of, I'm bringing it anyways. I'm going to do something anyway. I'm already thinking about what you might need, and I'm going to be there with that. More of us need to be that way. Bill Watterson, you might not know the name, Calvin and Hobbes. I saw this quote. I don't know, maybe he put it in the mouths of one of them, but it says this: things are never quite as scary when you've got a best friend. Isn't that true? When you know you're not alone. Now here's the thing: a persistent friend remains relentless. When it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. Notice, you know, the lion, the bear comes back at me. Okay, sir, there you go. Not David. He wasn't that kind of shepherd. You're coming at me, I'm coming at you. And when it gets hard, and like these friends, you know, they could have looked at him and said, hey, pal, we've carried you a long way. And look, we can't get to you. We tried. Then we said, okay, we can't get in this way. How are we going in? I want to know which one of those friends said, hey, I got an idea. Let's go through the roof. Okay. And there they went. David never said that it was easy to be that kind of shepherd. And it's not always easy to be that kind of friend. It's not hard to imagine how difficult it might have been for those friends of the paralytic to carry their friend to Jesus. Just use your imagination. Did anywhere on the road, did they stub their toe? Oh, man. Anybody get a, hey, I'm getting a cramp in this arm. Can we switch sides? When the writer and co-creator of the Marvel Comics character Wolverine noted this, a true friend is someone who is there for you when he'd rather be anywhere else. Now all this is taking place right near the Sea of Galilee. And you can imagine they're carrying their friend out. Man, I wish I was down there at the beach. I'd rather be fishing. This is hard. But they looked at their friend and said, but my friend needs me. Needs me in this moment. Listen to Romans 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. See, that's the temptation for us, isn't it? But I want this, I need this in this moment. But this kind of friend that the world needs, that the paralytic had, that I need, that you need, that we all need, and we need to be that kind of friend, is the person who says, you know, I'd really rather be doing this. This is not my first choice, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I want to be that kind of friend to this person. To be the kind of friend that goes that extra mile means we can't operate based on just what pleases us. And there will be times of inconveniences. There will be late nights, early mornings, strained muscles, tension, headaches. But will we walk away when we see those things like they saw a crowd? Or will we say, okay, where's the roof that I got to rip off here? Speaking about before, being born before 75, now this is after that, but I imagine Troy was still a little young, probably not, but the TV show Cheers, okay, has in their theme song, had this line, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And that's a good thought, and it's a good start. It's nice when people know our names. But that can be true of acquaintances and colleagues and team slash glass / roommates. You know, aren't you glad you were at work and there's a lot to be done? You look around, I'm glad you finally showed up. I'm glad you're here this morning. Not because we're besties, but because I got to do your job if you're not here. We need something more. It needs friends who not only know their names, but their stories, their burdens, their shortcomings, their sins, and they still stay closer than a brother or a sister. Troy, valiantly, thank you, brother. I know that was scary. Sang that song, and let me just revisit a few lines from the song. You've got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through, because you've got a friend in me. Folks, let me ask you this, because I know this. As a pastor, minister, there's a lot of y'all out there. And let's be honest, we can't be that kind of friend to everybody. So we've got to, together, figure out how we're going to be that kind of friend to at least a few people. So let me challenge you this morning. I want you to ask yourself this. Who has such a friend in me? Who's got that kind of friend in me? Can you think of them? Can you stop for a minute and go and just run through the mind? Who is it that can call me at 4 a.m. and they know it? Who is it that I will rush in and I will rescue? I will step up even before being asked. Who has that kind of friend in me? Because that's where we want to get to, is to be that kind of person where we can list off a few and say, look, I've got a lot of acquaintances. I've got a lot of colleagues. I've got a lot of roommates / classmates, class teammates, people that I know. But I've got a handful of people, a few people I would go to the mat for. And they know it. And if you don't, then stay with us through this series so we can begin, you can see, and we can all begin together and say, here are the qualities, here are the characteristics that we need to develop in our lives. Now, here's a question you may be tempted to ask. Where's my friend like that? Where's the person that's that to me, that I can call at 4 a.m.? That's another sermon. But I'm going to leave you with this good news. We have this kind of friend in Jesus. Listen to Jesus in John. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're one of his disciples, he calls you friend. And if we go back up just a couple of verses, we read this. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. He knows your name. And he's always glad you came. But it doesn't stop there. He laid down his life for you. And today, if you're one of his followers, if you're with him, know this. He's interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And when that day comes, when you draw your last breath and you find yourself on that day of judgment, He's going to say, that one's mine. I laid down my life for him. I laid down my life for her. That one's mine. I am their friend. In just a moment, we're gonna look at a couple of little pieces of elements, a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice. And what I want you to do is I want you to see in them this morning, these things tell me Jesus is my friend. That he loves me. That he cares what happens to me. That he ran to the problem of my sin. And he is still relentless today. The word of God says that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. He is relentless. The scripture would go on to say in that story, some people said, what's this business of forgiving sin? They said, you know what? So people might know that I have this power. Get up and walk. And he got up and walked. He loves you. And this morning, as we're singing the song, and after you've taken communion or before you've taken communion, and if you're at a place where you say, I need Jesus to be that friend to me. I want to be that friend to him. I want that relationship with him. I want to have my life hidden with him. I want to be buried in the waters of baptism. I'm ready for that. I'm ready to be in a friendship relationship with Jesus and to receive what he wants to give me and let him start that relentless work in my life. If that's where you're at this morning, we invite you to respond. And as always, you can come up and you can use these steps like, and just pray or where you're at. But let's give God thanks that we have a friend in Jesus. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And I thank you that as we begin this series where we want to consider how to become that kind of friend that goes the distance, that meets the need, that you'll help us see where sometimes we're impatient. Sometimes we're a little just too self-serving, and we've got to learn. We've got to grow. We've got to let you continue that work in us and helping us to become that kind of friend that would carry someone all the way to you. So help us, Father, to open up our hearts and our minds and be ready for this. And as we take those little emblems, that little piece of bread and that little cup of juice, help us to see the kind of friend we have in you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.